So everybody knew he was really, really smart, but he was also kind of a slob. And so when he took off for vacation, Alexander, here's a picture of him, with his wife, Sarah, they left for 2 weeks. He didn't even bother to put away his laundry or even clean up the dirty dishes in the sink, just bolted. They went to Scotland for 2 weeks, and when they returned back to their London home, Alexander went back to his office, actually his laboratory, you can check that out here, and he found in his sink these dirty dishes. And what the dirty dishes were petri dishes. He had allowed bacteria to grow for these 2 weeks, and when he got back, he found the bacteria had just taken over everything except one area where mold was growing. That discovery led to two things. Number one, Mrs. Fleming hired a maid. And secondly, Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin. This would completely rock the medical and scientific world. The discovery of penicillin, which he first called moldy juice, marked a true turning point in human history. Doctors finally had a tool that could completely cure their patients of deadly infectious diseases. Dr. Fleming famously wrote after this, "When I woke up just after dawn on September 28, 1928, I certainly did not plan to revolutionize all medicine by discovering the world's first antibiotic or bacteria killer. But I guess that's exactly what I did." Indeed, he was knighted for that and received the Nobel Prize. Well, you know, it's an incredible story, and our own coronavirus is looking for that kind of discovery. Now, we've had some discoveries, accidental discoveries already, some lighthearted ones. For starters, we've discovered something about haircuts. In the next apocalypse, we have decided that hairstylists will be determined to be an essential service. Also, we've discovered new ways to work. Check out this guy named Wilson tending his sheep. All right, there he is, working from home. Our church has discovered a lot about how to do all of our worship online. We've had Good Friday communion online in your homes. And we're actually planning our next baptism service. Check it out. Here's what we're planning. Yeah, social distancing baptistry. Wow. And finally, we have the potential discovery of some really great news. One bright spot in the news. It's breaking news. Chuck Norris has been exposed to the coronavirus. The virus is now in quarantine for 14 days. Chuck Norris. Well, seriously, wouldn't it be great to find the cure for COVID-19? Where is Alexander Fleming when you need him? What if they could find a cure? Well, actually, that's exactly what I want to talk about today, finding a cure, because the cure for the world's biggest problem is what Easter is all about. What is the world's biggest problem? Well, the obvious answer is that it's COVID-19, the coronavirus outbreak. But actually, the world's biggest problem is what the coronavirus does, and that is it kills people. If the coronavirus didn't kill people, we wouldn't be nearly as worried about it. The problem, the world's biggest problem, is actually death. Death. In fact, I came across a study just this week of the world's mortality rate. Check out the scientific study. Yeah, it's held really steady for the last 5 years. Actually, the last 5,000 plus years, it's like 100%. Yeah, this is a problem. It's the world's biggest problem. Everyone dies. But here's the good news. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ went to a cross, and he died a death for our sins, to take our place, to remove our sins, to forgive us of our sins. And he promises that whoever believes in him will be forgiven. And he vindicated all his claims to be the Son of God by rising from the dead. God actually raised him, and Jesus Christ defeated death, the world's biggest problem. And he offers life and hope and eternal life to everyone who trusts in him. And that is what we are celebrating, guys, this Easter, eternal life. And I want to take you in the Gospel of John to four different types of people that are described to us by the author, the Apostle John. And it's going to give us hope as we head in to our future, which is unknown, but we know that Jesus has the cure for the world's biggest problem. So the first one is, the first group of people I want to talk about are those who are experiencing sadness, grief, loss, or sorrow. And the resurrection of Jesus helps us to overcome our sorrows and gain new joy. So we meet up with a woman, and first I want to just give you a quote from Alexander Fleming. He said this, "One sometimes finds what one is not looking for." Yep. And sure enough, Mary Magdalene on that first Easter discovered something she was not looking for. John chapter 20, verse 10. "Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb." She's crying because she expects to see Jesus' dead body. Jesus is dead. "She saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet." Something strange is going on here. "They said to her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'Because they've taken away my Lord,' she told them, 'and I don't know where they've put him.' Having said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Perhaps because of the tears in her eyes, perhaps he looked somewhat different. 'Woman,' Jesus said to her, 'why are you crying? Who is it you're seeking?' 'Supposing he was the gardener,' she replied, 'sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away.' And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' Turning around, she said to him in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means 'teacher.' 'Don't cling to me,' Jesus told her, 'since I have not yet gone to my Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, 'I've seen the Lord.' And she told them what he had said to her." Instantly, her sorrow turns to joy. She's excited. She's overcome with enthusiasm. Why? Because she's got good news. Death has forever been defeated in the person of Jesus Christ. And if he can defeat death itself, there's no problem too big. There's no grief too deep. There's no heartache that he could not heal. Jesus is the cure for the world's biggest problem, and that's death. And if he can overcome death, he can help us to overcome any sorrow that we have. Jesus is alive. Guys, today, in your living rooms or your workplace, wherever you're watching this, there's probably some hurting hearts out there. You're overcome with sorrow. Maybe you've had some significant losses. I'm here to say to you that Jesus is real. He's not a story. He's not a legend. He's saying to you, I'm a living Savior. And today I am here to comfort you. I defeated death and I can take care of any situation you face now and into eternity. Trust in me. But there's another group of people that Jesus meets up with, people who are afraid. There are a lot of fears right now, guys, for sure. Fears of the coronavirus, fears of illness, of sickness, of job loss, of finances, all kinds of fears. But here's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ this Easter tells us. You can overcome your fears and gain new peace. John chapter 20, verse 19. When it was evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because they feared the Jews. They're fearful because their enemies killed Jesus and now they might kill them. I mean, they were afraid of being killed, and that's perfectly reasonable. It's a scary thing. But then Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and so the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Again, in an instant, their fears just evaporate. In place of fear, now they have total peace. All is well, and they were overjoyed, it says. How could their fears be changed to joy? Again, it's because Jesus is alive. If he could defeat death itself, what could anybody else do to them? What could any situation do to them that he could not control? So I don't know what kind of circumstances you're facing these days, but Jesus is Lord. He conquered death, and he's in control of every situation that you will ever face. And he wants to replace that fear you have today, this Easter, with new joy and new peace within. But it went much further, because they not only received peace, these incredible group of disciples became world changers. They would leave their locked rooms. They would go out to the streets of Jerusalem. They would heal people. They would show compassion to people. They would, and they would preach the good news that Jesus was alive. And you know what? That's exactly what we are called to do as a church. We are called to reach out to people with compassion, to show kindness and generosity and Jesus' healing power. And we're to bring the good news of Jesus this Easter. You know, at Valley Church, we talk about over and over again, we do good works to build goodwill, to share good news. I want to tell you about something that's happening starting right now at Valley Church. Check it out here.
This Easter, we're teaming up to bless some of our heroes impacted by COVID-19. This is yet another way that we can demonstrate that we love you, Des Moines. First, we want to bless healthcare professionals. We're so grateful to our Des Moines healthcare professionals working around the clock to care for the needs of our community. Even though they're tired and stressed, they continue to sacrifice and serve. We've reached out to multiple healthcare facilities to hear firsthand how we can support them. First, we want to fuel these heroes with snacks and coffee to get them through long, stressful shifts. Additionally, we want to bless them with gift cards to express our gratitude. It's our way of saying the people of Valley Church are so incredibly grateful for the way you serve our community. We can't say thank you enough. In this small way, let us take care of you. Secondly, we want to bless single parents. All parents can vouch that this spring isn't at all like we expected. While there is a sweetness to a new time of togetherness, it can also be exhausting and stressful. And perhaps no group that feels this reality more than single parents. Some aren't able to work at all now and face the very real financial implications of that. Others have essential jobs that take them outside the home and are balancing that with the reality that their kids are home full time. Whatever the situation, we want to let these single parents know that we're there for them. So with your help, we're reaching out to single parents in our church and around our community. We're giving gift cards to say, let us pick up just a tiny bit of all that's on your plate and help with the purchase of food or supplies. This Easter, we wanted to share this exciting way to get to love people within Valley Church and in our community.
So guys, will you join us in loving these heroes, in showing that we're with them? Thanks to the generosity, get this, thanks to the generosity of individuals who've already come forward here at Valley Church, we are able to announce today that Valley Church is going to be able to provide $25,000 to those healthcare professionals and to those single parents. Can you cheer wherever you are for that? And that's before we even announce it to any of you. So we want to open up that opportunity. If you would love to participate this in blessing these folks, and that's who we're starting with, but we'll expand it to other people who are in need. So here's how you can do it. You can give to our Koinonia Fund, which we call K Fund for short. It means just sharing, blessing people. And you can go online to give by going to valley.church/give. And that's very easy to do. Just note it at the K Fund. Or you can text it to Valley Church by texting the word K Fund and then the amount, just the number, say 25 or 100, whatever the number of dollars you want. And then you text that to 515-207-6404. Or you can mail it to the church address. And all these information will be given repeated at the end of our message. So guys, I want to just thank you from the bottom of my heart. I mean, it touches my heart for your incredible generosity. We would ask that these gifts be over and above your regular giving, because as you know, this is crunch time for the church as well. But we believe that we still are called to love our community. And so thank you for your generosity to Valley Church and to our K Fund. Now, there are other people who are struggling right now. And these aren't the only ones who have been impacted significantly by COVID-19. Maybe you've lost work. Maybe you're in a group that's at high risk. Maybe you feel isolated. You need somebody to pray with. I want to give you an opportunity to do that by just sending an email to pray at valley.church. Perhaps you're in a situation where you have a serious and immediate financial crisis. I would encourage you to send us an email, if that's your reality, to help at valley.church. And finally, if you would like to be a part of a project that we are launching right now, and that is to send 1,000 personalized cards to healthcare professionals and people who are living in healthcare facilities and maybe be isolated and feeling very lonely, we want to send 1,000 personalized cards to them. If you'd like to help with that, then send an email to us at serve@valley.church. And so I'll just repeat each of those three. The first one is pray@valley.church if we can pray for you. The second is help@valley.church if we can help you in some way. And the last is serve@valley.church if you'd like to help serve the needs by writing those postcards. So guys, these are exciting days. And the people in the early church, they got peace, and then they went out in the streets and just blessed people in incredible ways and brought the good news of Jesus. Because everything we do in the name of Jesus. So there's a third kind of person that Jesus appeared to. And this person is filled with doubts about whether Jesus really was alive, whether all of this was really true or not. Today, I invite you and I challenge you to overcome your doubts and gain new faith. We meet up with a guy named Thomas, and here's what it says in John chapter 20. Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So that's a really, really, really bad day to miss church. When Jesus appears in resurrection power. So the other disciples are telling him, we've seen the Lord. And he just wasn't buying it. He says, no way. I mean, death is the final thing. There are only two certain things, death and taxes. Now, I know they've extended the tax deadline, but it's still a deadline. I mean, that's why they call it a dead line. And death is the ultimate dead line. And he said to them, if I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will never believe. A week later, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said again, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Don't be faithless, but believe. Thomas responded to him, my Lord and my God. Again, in an instant, Thomas is totally transformed. He's this gloomy pessimist, this defeatist who's totally thrown in the towel on Jesus and the kingdom, who's become this incredible, dynamic worshiper of God. God can turn it around for you too. Maybe you have doubts. What made Thomas change? It was nothing less than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe there's overwhelming evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. But the good news is Jesus meets doubters, maybe that's you, right where you are. And he is able to provide very convincing evidence in very many different ways to you so that you might believe yourself. Eventually, he's going to challenge you, though, to believe. Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. He's talking to you right now. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Faith is not blind belief, but believing on the basis of evidence, and there's plenty of evidence. To all the doubters in the world, Jesus appears and meets you right where you are. Jesus allows you to ask questions, but eventually he will challenge you and say, stop doubting, believe. Is it the day, is this Easter 2020, the day that you believe? You know, back to Alexander Fleming, he said this once. He said, penicillin sat on a shelf for 10 years. While I was called a quack. There's a lot of people who had a hard time believing. But eventually, they saw enough evidence and it was time to trust that this was a real deal. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a real deal, guys. It is real. And I encourage you to take that step of faith. The fourth and last group that Jesus wants to reach out to today is somebody who's haunted by their past, by their failures. The good news today on Easter is that Jesus, through his resurrection, can help you overcome your failures and gain new life. Enter Simon Peter. He denied that he even knew Jesus 3 times. And then after the resurrection, Jesus meets up with him and makes a point to personally ask him, Simon, do you love me? For 1 time. Simon, do you love me? A 2nd time. And then finally, a 3rd time. Asked him a 3rd time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved that he asked him the 3rd time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And later he says, follow me. Jesus asked him 3 times because Peter denied him 3 times. And he wanted him also to be able to say 3 times, I love you, I love you, I love you. You know what? He wanted to know that he wasn't held forever under this gloom and cloud of failure. Instead, he was totally forgiven. The guilt of his past was washed away. And in fact, Jesus had huge plans for him. He was going to be the leader of this group of apostles. And he was going to be one who would be among those who turned the world upside down. Today, maybe you're haunted by your past mistakes, by your failures. Today is the day to leave that all behind because God has a brand new life for you. It's true. It can be your reality. Right now, I want to share with you a story of a young woman who just a few weeks ago walked into the doors of Valley Church and went to a course we call Alpha. And many people who are seeking God have come to this course to find out and to explore Christianity. Check it out.
Hi, my name's Samantha Fuller. I live in Norwalk, Iowa. Recently just started coming to this church. I guess growing up, I always went to small town churches and stuff in the area. Never really found one that like clicked with me, and everything just didn't really seem right to me. Like, I wouldn't call myself a total atheist. I definitely believed in something. I just wasn't really sure what that was. I am an alcoholic, and I deal with trying to stay like sober all the time with alcohol. And with my new job starting up in a restaurant, I started to get back into that scene, you know, where I'd be sober for a couple months and then drink for a couple months. And it was just really back and forth. And my grandparents found out I started drinking again. So they were like, well, we have this Alpha course starting up at this church that we really like. So in order for you to get your car back, you have to come with us every Monday. And I was like, ugh, fine, I guess, if you're gonna make me. I recently went through a breakup. And there was one night, things were just getting really bad. Tensions were really high. Everything was just kind of crumbling at this moment. And I started having like a mental breakdown. And so I was laying in bed, crying and crying and crying. And I was sober for a little bit before this. And I was like, I'm either gonna drink or right now I'm so hopeless, I might just not wanna wake up. My grandparents always said that they'd rather me wake them up in the middle of the night to talk things out rather than me making a bad decision. So I think it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I woke them up and they came downstairs to my room, and I was crying and crying and trying to explain to them what was going on through all my tears. And they sat down and I looked up at my grandpa. He was kind of like in a chair next to me. I thought he was praying, or it looked like he was praying. He's a very faithful guy who devotes himself to God. And he always prays for me and has always prayed. And I just looked at him and I was like, you know what? Might as well. I've been going to Alpha for a while during this and stuff. And God, I need help. I'm struggling. I don't know what to do. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I'm crying. Like, I need help. I need guidance. I need something. I need peace of mind. Like, so you know what? I believe in you. I give you everything. I give you all my burdens and stuff. I just need help. All of a sudden, like, I had this like deep breath and exhaled and just like stopped crying out of nowhere. And my grandparents were kind of like, what? Like, because I just stopped. And it just felt like I could exhale, you know? I could breathe. And this like weight lifted off my shoulders for a second. And then I just had this like peace of mind and this like calmness. And I was like, wow. It was like one of those kind of life-changing experiences that you can't really describe unless you've had one of those. And I just had this feeling like in my gut that like, it's gonna be okay. Like, it's gonna be fine. You're sad, you're hurt, everything seems like it's crashing, but it's not, because I'm there for you. Like, it felt like God was saying, I'm here for you right now. everything's not fixed. I still deal with depression, anxiety every day. I still deal with alcoholism, whether to drink or not to drink every day. But now, for the first time, I know there'll always be there, like, someone to be there to support me. Now that I have accepted God and accepted faith and, you know, everything that comes with it, it brings a lot of thought to this Easter and how this is going to be, I guess, the first Easter I really relate to. It means so much more to me now because I know that if I do sin or I struggle with that decision of right or wrong, that I know that He will always be here for me and forgive me for my sins, because He did die on the cross for all of us to be able to be humans and make mistakes. And it's really helped me take a different perspective on things and look at everything else in my life and say, you know what? It's not coincidences. It's Him lining everything together. It just took a moment for everything to finally come together. It's really life-changing. I mean, there's no other words for it. And it really helps through any struggle that you're going through. And for the first time, I can honestly say that I love God.
What an incredible story. You know, after I met Samantha and after she told that story, I said, Samantha, do you know what your name means? And she says, I really don't. I said, your name means God heard. God heard. He saw your past. He saw your cries. He saw your calling out to Him and He heard. And today, God will hear you too. God will hear your prayer. Do you want to have your sorrow changed to joy, your fears to change to peace, your doubt changed to faith, your failure to be changed to new life? All you need to do is call out to God. Will you do that right now as I pray and join me in prayer? Father, thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, and thank you for raising Him up on Easter. We celebrate the new life that we have in Him. And right now, I pray for every person in Valley Church to be uplifted, to be encouraged by this great day. But I also pray for those today who've been touched to say, this is the day that I need to trust in Jesus Christ for the first time. And Lord, I just pray that they would pray something like this in their own words. Lord Jesus, I know I need you in my life. Thank you for dying for me. Today, as best I know how, I trust in you for forgiveness and for eternal life, and I give my life to you. Help me to follow you with your strength and power. Give me new life and a new future. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen. Well, today, if you prayed a prayer like this, you've crossed the line of faith and you've come to believe in Jesus Christ, and God has a great future in plan for you. I want to give everybody an opportunity to respond to this message. So as we close today, I want you to choose one of four letters, all right? So they're either A, B, C, or D. The first letter is A. If today you want to affirm your faith in a fresh way and say, yes, this is what I believe, and this is an encouragement today, choose that letter A. The second one is the letter B, and that is, if today you're beginning that new life, you for the first time cross that line of faith, you say, I'm believing in Jesus Christ for the first time, you choose that letter B. I'm beginning, I'm believing today. C, if you say, you know what, I need to check it out more. I'd love to check it out. I'd ask you to choose the letter C, and maybe we can give you an opportunity to learn more about Alpha or one of our spiritual discovery groups. And lastly, I ask you to be honest. If you're like, no, I disagree, or I really deny these things are true, I'd ask you to be honest and choose the letter D. Now, here's what you can do. Here's how you can respond in a unique way, is you can actually take one of those four letters, and here's what you do. You just text the word Easter, to this text number, 515-644-1021, and you just text the word Easter, and then it will lead you through asking for, it'll have a little disclaimer at first, and then it'll send you a text asking for the letter A, B, C, or D, and then your name. And that way you can respond and let us know how this Easter time online with Valley Church has impacted your life. I would encourage you to do so. That slide will be up again at the end of this message. Finally, I want to wish all of you guys an incredible happy Easter. It's been an incredible Easter for our family. And I actually want to show you a video of a breakthrough that my wife Ruth has had. As many of you know, she has been in a wheelchair for 7 long months since a serious cancer surgery. She's cancer-free, but this weekend had a major breakthrough. Check it out.
Hey, everybody. Check out the awesome Ruth Steef right now.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Great job, Ruth. That is awesome.
Hey guys, thanks for cheering with us on that. That was just a special moment. It's a celebration in our household. And finally, you know, the scriptures never cease to amaze me. This week, I was reading through the Bible on my own, as I do, and I came to 3 John. I mean, when was the last time you read 3 John? But I came across, this is the way the Apostle John, who wrote the Easter story that we looked at, closed his letter. He said, "I have many things to write to you, but I don't want to write to you with pen and ink." That was the technology of their day, pen and ink. He said, "I don't want to do that." Instead, he said in verse 14, "I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face." Valley Church, I'm so glad you could join us online, but from my heart to yours, I hope to see you soon, and then we will talk face to face. Happy Easter.